All right. Well, this morning we're going to begin in the book of Genesis. This is the story of Noah, which I think most of us are very familiar with. God told Noah to build an ark, put two of every kind of animal into the boat. And through Noah's family and these animals, God saved a remnant of the creation and then started over. So the section I'm going to read for us is after the flood is over, and it's the story about the covenant and the rainbow. So as you listen to this familiar story, pay attention to who God says this covenant is for. This is Genesis chapter 9, beginning at verse 8. Then God said to Noah, and to his sons with him, as for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth that is with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, hopefully, as we all heard repeated several times throughout that passage, the covenant wasn't just with Noah. I'll be honest, I kind of forgot this part. It wasn't just with Noah. It was also with Noah and with his sons and their families, their descendants, and with every living creature on the earth. With the animals and the fish and the birds, all that lived. The covenant was between God and the entire creation. Never again would there be a flood, and the rainbow would be a sign of the promise. Well, this is an ancient story. It goes back thousands of years, long before the Bible was even written. This story, as is many the case with many others in the Bible, it was part of the oral tradition. So people would gather around, they would tell these stories to their children, who would then grow up, and they would tell these stories to their children, and that the stories would be passed on and on and on. This particular story speaks about God's promise to bless the creation. Well, in a world that has always been filled with so much pain, so much suffering, we humans, we need to hear stories like this one. Stories that speak about the promise of God's blessing, the promise of God's love, the promise of God's love toward us, toward the creation. This is really the whole story of our Christian faith, right? That God so loved the world. And so we return to these stories again and again and again to be reminded of what we need to hear and to invite God's love to transform us from the inside and then outward. I don't know how many sermons I've preached, but I preached a lot on wearing our sunglasses, S-O-N, seeing the world, seeing our lives through the lens of God's love that is made known to us in Jesus Christ. It's a lens that changes how we see things, right? For us, for our own lives, we're not the total of our successes or our failures. That's not who we are. We are God's beloved. And not just us, right? The plants and the animals, all of creation, God's beloved, seen through the eyes of love. When Jesus walked the earth, he talked about living in a way that spreads God's love. And he said it like this. This is Matthew 7, verse 12. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Big statement, right? Jesus is saying the entire Old Testament, the law and the prophets, everything is summed up right here in this short phrase, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, when I think about doing unto others, I usually think about people. And I think this is probably what Jesus meant. But as we think about climate change, which is our summer sermon series, I think we're more than halfway through now. And as we think about how it's affecting the entire creation, I wonder if we should think about this more broadly to also include how we live with the plants, with the animals, with the trees, with all kinds of life. Because as we've read, as we heard from the story in Noah, in Genesis with Noah, God's covenant was with the entire creation. Makes me think of the Native Americans who teach us to speak of the sun as sister sun, right? We even sing a song sometimes about this. Brother moon, sister woodpecker, brother dolphin, sister sycamore tree, brother ladybug. Because we are all one creation. We're all recipients of God's spirit, given life by God. And we all share this one planet that we call home. This week, I learned about something I want to tell you about. It was a story about a priest. That's just a story that happened long ago, but a story happening right now. A priest in Brazil. Here's a picture of him. He serves a parish in the city of Gravata. And his ministry includes, actually sounds like it's primarily about serving stray dogs. Apparently in Brazil, and particularly in the town where he is, in Gravata, there are tons and tons of stray dogs walking all over the streets, hungry and thirsty, many of them injured, sick. And this priest himself has adopted a number of them. And they actually did some construction on the church property. So they have bowls and bowls of water and dog food around the outside of the building. But not only that, apparently he does what we see in this picture here. He gives his sermons quite often with a particular stray dog, trying to advocate for someone in the church on that particular morning to adopt this particular dog. So if I'm ever preaching back when we're in person, I have a stray dog, you'll know where I got the idea. I can hardly imagine doing this, but this priest obviously sees his ministry not just to humans, but to these animals as well. He says that he looks into their eyes and he can't help but love them. I know some of you know exactly what he's talking about. But I wonder also if he's thinking of the words of Jesus, do unto others. And I wonder if he imagines how he would feel if he were a stray dog looking for love, looking for a place to belong. When we hear Jesus say, do unto others, perhaps we might think of the animals in our homes as a way of living this out. A friend of mine who passed away, who many of you knew, Sue Martin, she used to talk about this, that the animals in our home are a way for us to live out our call from God to care for the larger creation. Do unto others, says Jesus. Well, when I hear this, not only do I usually think about people, but I also particularly think about people who are alive with me right now. And again, I think this is probably what Jesus meant, but as we think about the changing climate, perhaps we should also expand how we think about this to think about those who are not yet born. The future generations, like baby Caden's great-great-grandchildren, right? Shane Adams' baby Caden, imagining his great-great-grandchildren and the world that they will live in after most of us have lived and gone. Well, 30 years ago, apparently in Los Angeles, the air quality was quite different than it is right now, a lot worse. I don't know the full story, but I do know that some group of people got together and decided they wanted to change this. Perhaps they breathed in the bad air and thought, we can do better for us and also for the future generations. And so they did. They pushed for clean air laws, and now it's a lot better than it was 30 years ago. Maybe some of you remember that. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's as if we're hearing Jesus say that we need to use our imagination, right? Imagine how you want to be treated, how you want to be thought of, and then go and do that. We're told that right now, the future of the planet and our lives on the planet, it hangs on our capacity to use our imagination. Can we imagine an economy not dependent upon fossil fuels? Just this week, Europe said that they are indeed imagining this. You may have heard that they've announced big plans to shift away from fossil fuels. I found it helpful recently when I was doing some reading, and they talked about the abolition of chattel slavery and how the entire US economy had to be completely reimagined, right? The vision of an economy that wasn't dependent upon slave labor was something that was impossible at first to imagine. But eventually they did it. And as we know, chattel slavery was abolished. This gives me hope as we think about boldly imagining a different kind of life on the planet, that's better for the environment. Well, in the book that that Rob brought to us, Climate Church, Climate World, the author, Jim Antel, at the very end of the book, he has a chapter where he imagines a very hopeful future. And the chapter is titled, Imagine, a letter written to the church by a teenager in the year 2100. So fast forward 80 years roughly from today. And it's a chapter that begins with this young girl first saying thank you to all the previous generations for their hard work, their courage, their vision, as she said, perhaps as they got themselves into some good trouble, all for the sake of loving the future generations. It's a vision of a hopeful future. The truth is, there is so much work to do for us to bring about a reality like this. And as for our part in it, what you and I specifically are called to do, of course, that's a matter of prayer and discernment. So I want to close with a reading from Philippians chapter 2 that speaks to us of the never-ending, always and forever love of God. Because it's the love of God that shapes us, shapes our minds, shapes our hearts, gives us encouragement for our own journey, gives us hope, and leads us in how we are called to live our lives. So let's listen to the Apostle Paul from Philippians chapter 2. He writes, "If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from his love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion, any sympathy, then make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, have the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." The same mind. The same mind. The mind of Christ that was full of love, not just for God and for others, but for the whole of the creation and for the future generations. Let's pray that this indeed would be the case for us, that the mind of Christ would be ours. Amen.